Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. It's my delight to have you join us today. We're looking forward to having a wonderful dialogue and discussion. Today we're going to be talking about, do you need to invite Jesus Christ into your heart to be saved? That is it necessary, listen, is it necessary for you to do something to be saved? We'll talk about that in a moment, but before we do, let me remind you that as we look at issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. The Scripture is the first, foremost, final authority for what we say, think, or do. And as we face issues, whether they be theological, doctrinal, biblical, or social, economic, family issues, or political issues, we need to do so realizing that God's Word speaks to each of those issues as we face them in life. Jesus instructed his disciples in John 8, 31 and 32, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And then Jesus said in John 17, 17, "Thy word is truth." Ladies and gentlemen, it's not a matter of the word of God having an element of truth or little nuggets of truth. The word of God is the totality of truth. Truth, I believe, in society today is a lost word, a lost understanding. In fact, Trey Gowdy, when he left the House and said he was not rerunning, on an interview on Fox Television, he said the reason he was leaving, he said at one time he thought that the whole idea of the House and the Senate was to seek truth. He said, but he discovered that that was the least on the agenda in Washington was to find truth. And I believe that is true across the nation, that most people today are not interested in truth. They're interested in just simply some denominational dogma, some rites, rituals, rules, and regulations, some ideological, philosophical babble, but not interested in the truth. And this is what we find with the standoff, by the way, about the wall in Washington, where Nancy Pelosi has become a theologian in chief rather than being a House member. She's decided that she's going to make a determination of what is immoral. What is moral? By the way, I called yesterday and left word with her administrative assistant that if she's going to get into the biblical theological issues, we need to have a discussion because building a wall is not immoral. And I went through the dialogue in relationship to the walls being built. But that's another story, another discussion for another time. But ladies and gentlemen, before we get into the monologue and the dialogue and discussion today, I want to invite you to worship with us Sunday. Sunday school, that's the Bible study hours at 9:30 on Sunday morning. We'd be delighted to have you join with us in our Bible study group. And then at 10:45 is the morning worship service. And at 7 p.m. on Sunday evening is the evening worship service. Be delighted to have you. Sunday morning, we'll be talking about a subject, a message, the key to life's meaning. And then on Sunday evening at 7 o'clock, living by the gospel is the title of the two messages for Sunday. Looking forward to having you join with us. We're located 1 mile south of I-295, exactly in the heart of Mandarin. We're located about 3.5 miles north of 95 on Old St. Augustine Road. That's 12021 Old St. Augustine Road right here in Jacksonville, zip code 32258. Looking forward to having you meet us. We've met you on the air. We'd love to meet you in person. Love to have you come and worship with us and allow us to be a blessing to you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're looking for a church where the old-time gospel is proclaimed verse by verse and chapter by chapter unapologetically, if you're looking for a church where gospel music is still used and not the rock and roll 7-Eleven music where you can't understand the words, but where we sing songs that honor God, and that prepare the heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ to be proclaimed. If that's what you're looking for in a church, we'd be delighted to have you. Looking forward to having you worship with us even this Sunday. Ladies and gentlemen, just what does the scripture mean? What does the Bible mean? In Acts 2:21, where it says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." The focus point is on the word call upon the name of the Lord. How do you do that? Do you call upon the name of the Lord by osmosis? Is it something that you have a volitional choice in doing? Just exactly how do you call upon the name of the Lord? What does it mean when the scripture says, "For faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God"? Does a person get saved? Ladies and gentlemen, listen. We're talking about today, do you need to invite Jesus Christ into your heart to be saved? Now, I'm saying that because there's a whole element of theological doctrinal belief and teaching out there in the marketplace today and out in the world. And maybe you're in that category. Maybe you've believed. But there are a lot of folks that say you don't have to do anything. You don't have to say the words. You don't have to invite Christ to come in. The word believe and whosoever shall call is irrelevant. And you just can sit back and relax and understand somehow, some way that whatever God wants, he's going to do it because he's sovereign. And therefore, you don't have to worry about inviting Christ to come into your heart. Ladies and gentlemen, does a person get saved without inviting Jesus Christ to come into the heart? Can a person be saved without wanting to be saved? Is it possible? I'm asking the questions, and we're going to answer them in a minute. Is it possible that God in eternity past made the decision as to who's going to heaven and who's going to hell? There's a theological belief out there. It's called Calvinism. It's Reformed theology that teach and preach that, back before the foundation of the world, God decided who's going to be saved and who's going to be lost. And he predestined, and you've heard that term, predestined some to heaven and some to hell. Ladies and gentlemen, what about John 3:16? Whosoever believeth on him shall be saved. What is the word belief, pisteuo, faith? What does it mean to believe and to receive the Lord Jesus Christ? May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, what about the dying thief on the cross where he called out to Jesus, "Remember me when you come into paradise." And Jesus said, "This day thou shalt be with me in paradise." Did that thief on the cross get saved by osmosis or by calling on Jesus Christ? That's the question that begs to be asked and properly, theologically, doctrinally, and biblically answered. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm delighted to have with us today Dr. Neil Phelps. Dr. Phelps is a Bible theological professor with us at Conservative Theological University. Dr. Phelps, welcome today to Let's Face the Issues broadcast.
Thank you so very much. And what you have said is really happening today. We have a lot of religious theology out there today, and it's really the thoughts of men. They have a theology based upon their background, their denomination, and the thoughts that they have read from certain books, for example, Calvinism. But there's something better, and that's called biblical theology, where we have the truth of God. And I believe it's so important for everybody listening. It's so important for me and my family, my home, that we understand that Jesus talked about this matter of religion and salvation to a man by the name of Nicodemus. And he said in John chapter 3, verse 7, "Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again." Now, how is that possible? And where is it talked about in the scriptures? What does it involve? In John chapter 1, verses 12, we have a very important passage of scripture. It's in the context of John's writing that Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Jesus was in the world, but the world didn't know him. But he said in John chapter 1, verse 12, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. So I believe in these verses we see the formula for being born again. Jesus told a religious man, a very religious man, you must be born again. In John chapter 3, Jesus was talking to a man who came to seek. He needed to know. He wanted to know the secret of having fellowship with God and being right with God and having the hope of eternal life. So in these verses, we see the formula for being born again. Notice the three words, and that include believe, receive, and become. And those are really important words in the Bible. Those are Bible words.
They're Bible words, but yet, Dr. Phelps, those are words that are circumvented and are just, I don't know whether it's purposeful in all cases or sheer ignorance of the Scripture, that's often those words are just overlooked when it comes to those that say that a person need do nothing to be saved. That a person, in fact, ladies and gentlemen, the theology out there in so many cases is that if you pray a sinner's prayer and invite Christ to come into your heart, that that's doing works, and that we're not saved by works. Dr. Phelps, speak to us. Well, let's do this. Before we go any further with the dialogue and discussion on that, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Phelps is teaching the book of Hebrews this semester in the university, Conservative Theological University. Dr. Phelps, let's just interrupt this discussion a moment about inviting Christ to come into your heart to be saved and talk with our listeners just a moment. And I do this on the heels of this discussion because how do we learn truths like this? How do we learn biblical truth and separate out from tradition, oral tradition, and psychobabble and false theology and what I call voodoo theology? Dr. Phelps, how do we separate that out? Tell our listeners something about the book of Hebrews. You don't have to give an overview of that, but why are you teaching Hebrews? What's the truth found in the book of Hebrews? And why should an individual go to Bible college and learn how to rightly divide the word of truth?
I believe the Bible, it teaches us that we need training. I grew up in an area where we had a small church, but I didn't learn when I was going to church because we didn't have good teachers. And I think that's something really important. God has put in our churches not only pastors, but teachers, according to Ephesians chapter 4. And that's for our edification. God tells us in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 12 and following, that we need to grow up as Christians. We need to grow in the Spirit, grow in spiritual things, like Peter says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so we need a systematic course of learning from a man of God who knows the Scriptures and is able to guide students in a systematic, a planned, purposeful way of understanding the Scriptures. There are many things out there that are being taught that are contrary to the will of God and the Word of God. So we need people taught in the things of the Lord. So the book of Hebrews is so important, many people are never taught the content of the book of Hebrews.
That's right.
In the average church. And it's my belief, it's my thinking, my understanding, that without the knowledge of the book of Hebrews, we have a very small amount of knowledge about the entire Old Testament. The book of Hebrews, I believe, is one of the best commentaries on the Old Testament scriptures, especially concerning the law of Moses. And this is one book in the Bible that will help us to understand that we have better things today with our teaching from the New Testament under grace. So there's a comparison, a contrast of the things under the law and things under grace. We're living in the age of grace. And through our local church, we are supposed to be learning those things that tend toward freedom and liberty in Christ. We have better things in Christ as our high priest, as we learn in the book of Hebrews. When I say better, I mean better than they had under the law. We have a better high priest than what they had under the law. Better because he's the Son of God.
Yes.
Hebrews 4:14 then begins to call our attention to our great high priest. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. What is that profession? Our profession of faith. And so we have a lot of better things that we're to learn in the book of Hebrews. And without a thorough study, a planned study of the book of Hebrews, many people will be like I think many people are, in the fog. That is, they are just uncertain about many, many things concerning our so great salvation in Christ.
So would you say then, Dr. Phelps, that it would be wise for our listeners to entertain and consider the possibility of studying in Bible college? You see, ladies and gentlemen, I believe a lot of people, and perhaps you're thinking that you have to be a pastor, preacher, you have to be ordained, you have to be in a special position of calling, in a special life service to Christ for you to go to Bible college or seminary or university where you study the Scripture. And Dr. Phelps, that's just simply not so. In fact, perhaps we have those listening today, your Sunday school teacher, your usher, your deacon, perhaps you simply serve in some capacity in your church, or perhaps you're just a Christian. I don't use this in a minimalization, but perhaps you just, as a Christian, want to know the Word of God better. Let me invite you to call 1-800-GO-BIBLE, 1-800-GO-BIBLE, get you right through to the admissions office here, leave your contact information so that someone can get back in touch with you, and we can make arrangements to have you come in for an interview and talk with you about getting involved, enrolled. The new semester for the spring semester 2019 just started. You still have an opportunity up to 3 weeks to get into this semester. There are courses available that you can take that will be beneficial in growing you in the Word of God and allowing you to know better how to rightly divide the Word of Truth. We have some slots available for ministry work scholarships so that if you have gifts, talents, and abilities that can be used in the realm of ministry here on campus, in the classroom, or in the administrative process, we'd love to have you come in and talk with us about an exchange where you can do ministry work in exchange for your college training, or perhaps you're in full-time ministry, bivocational ministry, and you want to become involved so that you can be better trained to preach and teach the Word of God. We'd love to have you come on board with us, allow us to lock arms with you, walk you through the process, get you in the classroom. Some would prefer to study online, some in the classroom, others with directed education so that you can do so in your home or office, wherever you are. We'd love to have you, though. Call us, 1-800-GO-BIBLE, Conservative Theological University. We're theologically sound, doctrinally conservative, realistically practical, and financially affordable so that everyone can be trained in the Word of God. Dr. Phelps, before we get back into our dialogue and discussion on asking the question, is it necessary for a person to invite Jesus Christ to come into their heart for salvation? Let me remind our listeners, you're tuned in to Let's Face the Issues. This is Dr. Youngblood. We're interviewing Dr. Neil Phelps today. Dr. Phelps is a Bible theological professor with Conservative Theological University. We're talking about this subject. It's a theological, doctrinal subject that you must understand. How does a person get born again? How does a person get saved? How does a person receive Christ as Savior? And ladies and gentlemen, you can join in this dialogue and discussion by dialing 401-401-1413, 904-401-1413. Dr. Phelps, let's get back to the subject now. Where are we in relationship to our dialogue and discussion about the question, is it necessary for a person to invite Christ to come into the heart and save them? You were discussing that. Continue with that discussion, if you will, for our listeners, please.
When Jesus was talking with Nicodemus, a very religious person, he insisted that he must be born again. I asked a religious person one time, a very religious person, a question that involved salvation. And I asked permission if I may ask him a personal question, and he said, all right. So I asked, sir, have you really been born again? And his answer was, oh, I think I just grew into the kingdom of God. But Jesus pointed out to Nicodemus, that's not the way it works. We must be born again. And John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13 are important in this matter. And we read, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So Jesus was making the analogy to the human birth, as in the case when Jesus talked with Nicodemus in John chapter 3. In the case of a human birth, there are two factors that interact in the equation of life. There's the human and the divine. Human beings do their part. Then God performs a miracle and life is created in the womb. A child is born. That's natural life, physical being. As it is with the natural birth, so it is with the new birth. We do our part, God performs his part. God performs the miracle, and life begins. Spiritual life, eternal life. So a child is born into the family of God. Being born again involves two acts, our part and God's part. Our part is to receive and believe. The word receive implies a change of mind. For we once rejected him. The unsaved person refuses to receive the truth of the word of God. The Bible tells us in John 1:11, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. The religious leaders in Jesus' day refused to hear or receive his words. They refused the testimony of the scriptures about who he is. They would not believe the testimony of the works he performed. They would not accept the truth that he is the Son of God. They would not recognize him as God, manifest in the flesh. And like the religious leaders who could not believe because they would not hear and receive the truth spoken by Jesus, neither will anyone come to believe until we hear and receive the truth.
So hearing and receiving is part of that inviting to come into your heart. Dr. Phelps, here's a statement. How would you respond to this? Here's a statement. It's by Pastor J.D. Greer, and he has just recently been elected to the presidency of the Southern Baptist Convention for your edification. He says, if there were a Guinness's Book of Records on the amount of times of asking Jesus to come into your heart, I would pretty much hold it. He goes on to say, by the time I was 18 years old, I had probably asked Jesus to come into my heart 5,000 times. The question must be asked, how can a person know that he's going to heaven? This man says, and he's leader of a main denomination, says that he had asked Jesus into his heart 5,000 times. What went wrong? What is he? And therefore, it's that whole group of people, i.e., those that hold to the Calvinist theological belief, that asking Jesus to come into your heart doesn't save you. And that's what his whole argument is, that he had asked Jesus to save him, come in his heart 5,000 times, and yet he did not feel that he had done so. How do you respond to that person?
I think I would have several responses. The first one would be whether or not he had heard the truth. Scriptures tell us that there's no trusting unless there's some hearing of the truth, and there's no calling or no believing unless there is truth to believe. In many cases, a young person or an older person can actually be void of the truth. Truth is a necessary element in the formula for faith. If a person has never really heard the truth, then there's a problem. He cannot be saved. He cannot hear. Listen to what Ephesians 1:13 says. In whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. In whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. So I contend that people need to hear the truth of the gospel from the scriptures and to know, then have the truth. And that's something that God uses to generate faith in me and you.
Yes. In fact, Dr. Phelps, correct me if I'm off center here, or clarify this for our listeners. I think the problem is within the realm of Calvinism, focusing on the sovereignty of God and focusing on the fact that no one can be saved unless the Holy Spirit draw him. That's a biblical truth. Holy Spirit is wooing, drawing, calling every human being on the face of the globe unto himself. But that wooing and drawing can be resisted, can be refused, can be rejected. And just because the Holy Spirit of God is wooing and drawing doesn't mean that everybody will be saved. Here's an individual that says, and he's making fun of inviting Christ into your heart. Many an evangelical pastor has concluded a sermon by inviting non-Christians to ask and receive, inviting Jesus into the heart, or to pray a version of what is called the sinner's prayer. But some evangelicals are rejecting that. Those that say that, here's an individual that says that is not the case, that is not needed, and says that inviting Christ into your heart is simply not a formula for biblical salvation. How do you respond to that, Dr. Phelps?
Well, I will not endorse those statements at all, because I believe, and I'm sure, because it has worked in my personal life, believe, as we found here in the book of Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. Believe indicates trust. He says, in whom you trusted after that you heard the word of truth. And it indicates trust in Jesus as Savior and Lord. After hearing, receiving the truth of the gospel of Christ, we may choose to believe. We're called by the gospel out of doubt to believe. We must make a personal, willful choice. We learn the truth that Jesus is the Savior, but he must become my Savior. The only way that can happen is for me to receive him. I simply ask him to come into my life and be my Savior. Simply invite Jesus, the one who saves people from their sins, to come into my heart and life as Savior.
I've said so many times, Dr. Phelps, and I think that we have discussed this, salvation is a free gift. A gift is not a gift until received. If I would offer someone a $1,000 check and offer it, fill it out, sign it, and reach out and hand it until it is reached forth and received, it's not a gift. Yes. And so salvation is receiving Christ, and we've got to believe to receive, and in that believing, there's the repentance, that we repent of sin, repent of the past, repent, and have a change of heart, a change of mind, a change of direction, and say yes to Jesus Christ. Am I correct on that?
When we say yes, or when we invite Jesus into our life, then we have done our part. Then it's God's part from there on. See, God's part is to give power to become the sons of God, according to John chapter 1, verse 12 and 13. When we're willing to receive and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, then God does his part. We become the sons or daughters of God. God receives us into the family of God. We're included in the household of faith. Become means that we're born into God's family. And the change is called regeneration, for we become a new creation in Christ. Jesus said, you must be born again. And that is only when it happens that we are in the hearing of the Word of God, and we believe, that is, we receive the Word of God and believe, and we receive him into our hearts and lives.
Yes, I find it fascinating, Dr. Phelps, as we close, got about 30 seconds, but Jesus said to Nicodemus, ye must be born again. Now, if, ladies and gentlemen, listen carefully, if God has already done that, if God has already predestined, why did Jesus direct in an imperative voice, ye must be born again? If that had already been done, Nicodemus didn't have anything to do about it, why did Jesus challenge him and command to him, direct him, ye must be born again?
That's an imperative.
Imperative, absolutely.
So we must, that's our part. God wants us to do our part, and that is to receive the truth about Jesus, and then to invite him to come into our heart. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name.
Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, let me invite you, if you've never done so, to receive Christ. You do so by saying, Lord Jesus, I'm lost on my way to a devil's end. Say, hell, I confess that I'm a sinner. I repent of my sins. I invite you, Jesus, to come into my heart and save me. Help me to live for you because you died for me. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today. Looking forward to the next time as we meet again on the air to face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.